for the Lord. And I won't say any man specifically, because I don't know till the race is run. And you look at the Apostle Paul, he sure looked like an enemy of God, didn't he? He was causing Christians to be arrested and dragged back to Jerusalem and was assenting to the death of Stephen, right? He was an enemy of the gospel. But we pray for our enemies, and sometimes God turns the hearts of our enemies and they become our greatest friends. That's why you be careful how you talk about living people. The man from the association, I only use that as an example of the hypocrisy, because it is hypocrisy. That judgment is already done. But as far as what's going to happen to any person as you go along, who knows? That kind of a fall can be good for eternal life, maybe bad for your career. But what's your career compared to life eternal? There are others who are going to come to say, they've done money, we've built churches, we did this, we led this, we did that, right? We did all kinds of wonderful works, we prophesied. It's not that they thought that their works would save them. Maybe at the last, they call him Lord. That's why they think they're saved. But they recognize that he is not receiving them. And so they're asking, Lord, they still haven't given up the fact that you are our Lord. And they begin to resort to their works. But didn't we do all these things? In your name we did them. Lord, you work iniquity, he said. Because that's how you separate the children of God from the children of the devil. The children of the devil do iniquity. The children of God do the will of the Father. That's how he's going to, not everyone that says to me, Lord, you can say Lord, Lord to me, but that doesn't make you one of mine. And Jesus also taught predestination. I will profess to them, I never knew you. What does he say to the others though? I know you. From the foundation of the world, I chose you. Listen to my study on Ephesians chapter 1. From the beginning, he has chosen us to salvation. We were predestinated to be conformed to the image of Christ. He knew us before we were born. Them, he never knew. I don't know you from before you were born. I don't know you at all in the sense of how he knows them. I know not whence you are. This is the feigned ignorance of God. I say feigned because just like, where is your brother Abel, Cain? Where is he? Who told you you were naked, Adam? Who told you? Who are you? I don't know you. It is one of his most powerful ways of speaking to man. Because when God, who knows all, professes ignorance, that's a figure of speech that means exceeding depth of knowledge. What it really means is, I know who you are, and you are not my friend. It's an almost cruel way of speaking to your enemies. Like that sort of feigned ignorance. I don't know what you're talking about. Get out of my sight. And back, I kind of dwelt on the last three verses of this portion. Let's look back at the first five or six. False prophets, right? False prophets. Beware of false prophets, which come to you in sheep's clothing, which means they come to you as one of the flock. They come to you as fellow Christians. That's why I don't trust, early church fathers and so on and so forth. I've read some of them. And I respect some of their writings, but the thing is, I don't look to sheep to guide me anymore, but to the shepherd. And say, well, Paul, you're teaching the Bible. God gave us some teachers, and he gave us some prophets, and he gave us some of this and that and the other, right? But we are only guides along the way. There is a time when you ought to be a teacher. I don't know. I like to feel that I outlive my usefulness at some point. That at some point, you're going to get a grip on this thing. And I don't become your teacher, but I become a voice you like to hear as a brother, not as a superior. Or where maybe you begin to say, I don't even like to listen to Paul anymore because I think about it in this way as the Holy Ghost is teaching me. And so you feel like you've graduated. Good. And then others, you might just enjoy listening because it's like a friend talking. It's like a pep talk or whatever for good purposes. But not as one coming as a student, right? But we don't look to man. Ultimately, there are many voices. And if you listen to me, you need to listen to me not as unto the voice of a man, but as unto the voice of God. Because by the Spirit of God, my words are made holy. And by the Spirit of God, my words are the words of God. If the Spirit of God is operating in a prophet of God, it is God's word. If I am a prophet of God or a teacher of God, the things that come out of my mouth are as God speaking. Some by permission, though, right? The Apostle Paul, I speak this by permission, not by commandment. It is up to you to discern what is God's word out of my mouth and what is my musing as a man. Because there's a man here, and there's also the Spirit of God here. Both are present. But when I speak word that is God's word, it is God talking to you through me. You know, the best of what I do, that's where the Holy Ghost is. And the worst is me stumbling in darkness, groping my way. Inside, they are wolves. They want to devour you. Their speaking is, you know, they desire to heap disciples to themselves. They desire to heap up gold and treasures of the earth. They desire desires and lusts. They're covetous. They're greedy. Things they want. You know them by their fruits. What they do, what they bring forth, you shall know them. Do you get grapes of thorns or figs of thistle? Do you get fruits off of things that don't make fruit? So, you know, if it produces thistles, it's not a fruit tree. You can't have a good tree bring forth good fruit, or a bad tree bring forth, you know, a good tree brings forth good fruit, and a bad tree brings forth bad fruit. Right? That's the way it is with prophets. Prophets, false prophets bring forth false prophecy. False prophets, false teachers bring forth false doctrine.